Father, this morning, God, we celebrate you, and we celebrate this church. God, this is our safe place. This is the place we can come, and we can really be who we are, Father, and we're accepted. We're loved. We're encouraged. We get to learn. We get to learn at our pace. God, we don't have to pretend here. We don't have to make stuff up. We don't have to put on an image. We don't have to put on any kind of a face, Father. We come in just as we are, God, and we allow you to do the work. So, Father, I thank you for that this morning. I thank you for the ability to walk into a place where no pretending has to happen. That we can listen to your word, God. We can allow you to transform us at your pace. And we can walk away encouraged. We can walk away challenged, Father. God, I pray this morning, God, that as I open wide my mouth, that you would fill it for the glory of your name. God, that what I say and what is heard may not be the same thing. God, that you will meet people exactly where they're living, despite what I say. God, that it takes on a life of its own because, God, you say in your word that your word is living and it is active and it's sharper than a double-edged sword, and that it divides between the joints and the marrow. It judges the attitudes and the thoughts of our heart. God, your word is perfectly capable of speaking all by itself. You don't need me, Father, but I thank you that you use me. God, this morning as we start another series, I pray that what we learned in our last series just helps this series to make more sense. I pray that we would continue to be active in our walk, passionate about the decisions that we made at the beginning of January, God, and this would just be another springboard to making that happen. God, this morning, judge the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. Break us where we're wrong. Show us where we're wrong, Father God, and by your Spirit, give us a hunger. Give us a desire to be more like you. God, even for those of us who don't want to be like you, give us the desire to be like you. Wherever we are, Father God. And I just pray for open minds and open hearts this morning, God, for the glory of your name. And I pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Good morning. Have a seat this morning. Good to see you this morning, church. We're starting a brand new series today. It's a little bit of a shorter series. It's a three-week series, but this is a series that is really, as I just prayed, a springboard off of what we talked about recently. If you haven't been here, we talk every January about not being the same a year from now. And I ask you every January, are you the same? Is there been any significant change, any radical change? And so this January, as we talked about that, we took it a step further and began to look at why those changes may not be happening in your life. And I even had a brochure for you guys to fill out and turn back in. They're still being turned in. That's great. Continue to do that. It helps us to evaluate maybe what you're struggling with. It also helps us to see where you've grown. That's encouraging to us. And we're going to be reaching out to you and responding to those different things. You may not have put your name on yours. If you didn't put your name on yours, I may give you a holler and ask you kind of what you said so I can attach a name to the ones that don't have names, because we want to encourage you and reach out to you. But we're in a brand new series today, and I left a word off the front of the scoop sheet for some reason, but the name of the series today is Get Off the Bottle. All right? Get off the bottle. Who drinks a bottle? A baby. Are y'all babies? No. Okay, very good. But are we babies in our Christian life? Are we stuck? Because the question last month was, if you're not the same as you were, I mean, if you are the same as you were last year, then that means you have not spiritually grown. If you had good intentions, but the goals were over here, the good intentions were here, and the in-between where it happens, nothing happened, then you might just be younger in your Christian faith than you would like to admit. And so let's talk about this in the coming weeks so that we can sort of overcome. Let's see what the Word of God says, because sometimes the Word of God is just really direct. Have you ever found that out? Like, it's just right between the eyes, sucker punch to the throat. It just says what it needs to say. And so we're going to look at that today. But I want to kind of tell you who this series is for just a little bit this morning. This series is for, well, I hope it's for everybody, but it's specifically for that person that maybe is cynical, that person that maybe is critical of the Christian faith, skeptical. It's for you. And the reason it's for you is because when we're critical or skeptical or we're cynical about the Christian faith, we tend to have preconceived notions in our minds that we don't change even when we hear the Word of God. And I want you to just be open enough to hear what is said during this. Because what's important in the Word of God may not be what you're seeing in Christians' lives. And that may be why you're cynical. That may be why you're skeptical. But at the end of the day, the Word is what matters. And for the rest of us who are on this Christian journey, if we are failing you, we need to apologize. Amen? Amen. Because there are times we're not thinking like Christ-like people. But at the end of the day, you don't follow a man. You follow God. Okay? But it's for you. Open yourself up to hear. It's also for the person that's curious. I mean, maybe you're here and you're like, is this Jesus real? Like, I'm not sure I get the church. I'm not sure I get anything that's going on when it comes to Christianity. And I'm trying to figure it out. I just want you to open yourself up to hear in this series what God may want to say to you to move you from being a curious person to being a believer. Amen? It's also for the hungry, the brand new Christian, the novice. Okay, how many of you remember when you were brand new, right? You were completely out of control, right? You were driving everybody nuts. You were like 90 miles an hour, and you were like, give it to me from a fire hydrant. And then as you mature in your faith, you realize it's so much better to drink from the water fountain and really absorb what it is that you need to take your time in Christianity. But when you're brand new, man, you're like 0 to 60 in no time flat. I love that. You're on the bottle, and that's okay. You're the only ones that get to be on the bottle. Amen? Amen? All right, did you hear that? You said you weren't on the bottle, so you got to amen that. But there are brand new Christ followers who are on the bottle, and they should be on the bottle. It's also, though, for that person that's discontent. Have you ever had a holy discontent? You know what I'm talking about? You veterans? Have you ever had a holy discontent? It's that thing inside of you that goes, I've kind of plateaued, and I can't allow it. I know there's more. There's a restlessness inside of you. And if there is, I want you to pay attention to this message series. Because everything in the Word of God can meet all of those needs if we'll allow them to be met. Because what we don't want to happen is to stay with good intentions and no results. Amen? And so let's go into the Word of God today and let's just hit it hard. Now, the person that may not think this message series is for you is the content, happy-go-lucky. I just come to church every Sunday. I'm a Christian, but you know, I don't want to grow. I hope at the end of this series, you find yourself in one of the other categories. I hope you find yourself from content to hungry, from content to realizing maybe I'm not a Christ follower, I'm curious, from content to going, I'm a veteran, but I'm supposed to be mentoring others, and I can't continue to just be content where I am, okay? That's what we're going to look at in this series. Here's the reality. Have you ever seen a baby, like when the bottle's coming for them? Isn't it hilarious? They're like, right? We used to do this with Stephanie. At least I don't know if Lori did. I used to do this with Stephanie. I used to mess with her a little bit. I mean, she's 6 months old. I shouldn't have done this. But she doesn't remember, so it's okay. Sorry, babe, if you're watching. But I'd take the bottle toward her, and she'd start that, you know, and I'd move it to the left, and she'd go to the left. I'd move it to the right, and she'd go to the right. You know? I mean, they're just like, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. Right? And they want to be engaged with that bottle. But what happens? As they start drinking the bottle, what do? They settle down, and then what do? They fall asleep. That's great when you're drinking a bottle, but it's not great when you're a Christ follower. To be hungry at first and then just to be content and then to fall asleep is not what we need. The bottle won't keep you engaged, Christian. And here's a reality. Here's a truth that we need to understand. It is not my job as a pastor to keep you engaged. That may be shocking to some of you. It is not your kids' town teacher that's teaching your kids right now to teach them the gospel. It is their job to reaffirm what you're doing in your home. Because one day a week is going to be a joke to your kids. If they don't see it in you, then this won't make a whole lot of sense to them, and they'll be the one that may come to church as the curious, the skeptic, or the critical one day. And so we're here to reinforce. You can't have everybody do everything for you. Amen? And so we have to engage in our own Christian life. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews this morning. Hebrews is toward the end of your New Testament. It's just a few books before the book of Revelation. So if you're going to Revelation and moving backwards, you're going to be like Jude. And then there's going to be 3 John, 2 John, 1 John. Then you're going to have 2 Peter, 1 Peter. You're going to move backwards, James, and then Hebrews. If you're going the other way, it's going to be after the Timothys and Titus and Philemon. And you're going to find the book of Hebrews there. It's the largest book in that section. So turn to the book of Hebrews. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. There is a minority of scholars who try to lend this book to Paul. But if you've read Hebrews and engaged in Hebrews for any length of time, you will probably agree with the vast majority of scholars that say this is not in the context Paul writes. This is not in the personality that Paul normally writes. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. What you need to know is the person that wrote the book of Hebrews is someone who has been engaged with this group of people more than once. This isn't a soul letter that he sent and he doesn't know these people. This man who wrote this gospel, or this particular book rather, knows these people, and we're going to see that in just a minute. This is one of the later books that's been written in the New Testament. It was written in AD 70, and so the church has been alive for over 40 years. And so what he says to the church is important because of the length of time the church has existed. Are you with me? All right, Hebrews chapter 5. What is the writer talking about? Well, the writer is trying to relate to them something that they already are familiar with, and that is that in the Jewish culture, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would have to sacrifice for the sins of all the people. You know what I'm talking about? Is that familiar to you? If not, that's what he would do. No one could go into the Holy of Holies but the high priest, and he had to be right with God. Matter of fact, they put a rope around his ankle because no one could go into the Holy of Holies. And if he wasn't right before God and he died, they would have to pull him out by the rope because they could not go in and get him because no one can go into the Holy of Holies. Well, he goes on to write here and he says, now Jesus has become your high priest. Amen. Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, the only one who gets to go into the presence of God, has become our high priest and has sacrificed so that we can now be saved. He took all of our sins on himself, past, present, future, and went before God, and we are now in the category of those who can be saved. But it's our choice. Amen? But in Hebrews chapter 5, we pick up after that conversation. And this is what it says. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. The writer says this. We have much to say about this. About what? What we just talked about. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain why. Because you are slow to learn. Right? Boom. Caught you on the jaw. Sucker punch. You're slow to learn. Your translation may say dull of hearing. Dull of hearing is like having cotton in your ears. It's not that they could not hear. It's not that they were born deaf. They were not wearing hearing aids. This is not a crowd like that, okay? This is not the crowd of 90 and above. They can hear, but what he's saying to them is somewhere along the way, you have lost your hunger. And you can't hear. You can hear, but you can't hear. Know what I'm saying? You ever talk to your kids like they hear you, but they don't listen? I tell Lori all the time, I have no more hard drive up here. And so she says something to me, and in the moment, like I'll answer her, and then it's gone. And she'll say, don't you remember? And I'm like, no idea. Men, you know what I'm talking about? Have no idea what you're talking about, right? We don't store that kind of stuff. But I heard you, and when you remind me, I'm like, oh yeah, that's when whatever. It's back there somewhere roaming around in the recesses of my brain, right? Mothers, don't get frustrated with your sons. It's a natural thing, right? All right. The writer of Hebrews is saying the same thing. He says, I know you heard me, but you're not hearing me. And so he kind of jabs them. He insults them, if you will. Now, that sounds ugly. Like, how can that ugly thing be in the Word of God? How can Jesus even say things like to the Pharisees, your throats are open graves. You're a brood of vipers. You're whitewashed tombs. It's kind of like a sucker punch, isn't it? But the thing is this, which you have to understand about the Word of God. God will reach you however he has to. And he's not afraid to be bold with you because he loves you so much. He's going to get you where you're living so that you'll turn. And he's okay if you're mad at him for a while. He's bigger than that. So Jesus said this kind of stuff to the Pharisees. This writer is saying things to these people who are very proud of where they are. And he's saying, no, you shouldn't be, out of love. Sometimes it takes a really sharp sentence, a really sharp saying, a really sharp conversation to bring people around. And Jesus was okay with that. The writer here is okay with that. It's the only way Jesus could reach the Pharisees. Like, I've got to hit you so hard because I love you so much. Maybe this will wake you up. That's out of love. The writer here is so concerned with these people that he's writing out of love, and he's saying something hard to wake them up to reality. And so he's insulted them, if you will. Now, if you're walking right with Christ, if you're pursuing the things of God, and someone says something to you, you're going to tend to be more mature, and you'll be able to handle it. You may not like it, but you're going to say, "But is that about me? Thank you, Lord, for that. I didn't like it, but I loved it. You know what I mean? Because it helped me." That's what he's hoping the response of these people will be. You're slow to learn. Let me ask you something. Have you ever known somebody that's their own worst enemy? Have you ever known somebody that gets in their own way? Scott and I talk about this sometimes, from time to time. We talk about just one of the struggles of discipling and mentoring people sometimes. Is that sometimes we can see that people are in their own way. Sometimes I can see I'm in my own way, amen? I mean, sometimes it takes a while, and then I realize, well, if I keep doing the same thing over and over, I'm going to not get the result that I want. It's because of me. It's not because of anything else. So the question for you today is, what is getting in your way to where you keep staying the same and you're still on the baby bottle? Maybe it's that you have a total dependency on other people to do it for you. That's very common in the church. Like, you come to church on Sunday and the pastor preaches a message and you think that's all you need. I can't do it for you. I can preach to you, and your life group leader can lead you on Wednesday night. But at the end of the day, myself, your life group leader, have done the preparing in our own hearts and our own minds before we presented it, and you're getting the result of our study, okay? So in other words, you haven't done it for yourself. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but in and of itself, it can't take you deep, okay? You got to have more than fumes. When you go to the gas station, you see a row of pumps, don't you? And you got the super unleaded, and you just move past that because the price is ridiculous. And then you got the plus, and you want it, but you're like, it's 30 cents more, right? And so you move on down, and then you just got the regular unleaded. Then you got the diesel, right? Is there another pump that says fumes? It'd be the cheapest. But a lot of times that's what we're doing. We're running on the fumes of other people who are passionate about God. You can't let somebody do it for you. If your car is sitting behind another car that is full of gas to go, don't think that when they go that the exhaust that comes to you is going to make your car start and drive. It's not going to happen. It will make you exhausted. Huh? Did you get that? Sorry. Da-da. I'll be here next week too. No, I'm not a comic and you just realize that. But it will. Christian, listen, trying to run on somebody else's fumes will exhaust you because you're never going to get where you're trying to go. And we've got to move past that, or guess what's going to happen next January? You're going to be the same. Do you want to be the same? No, okay. There were less that said that than said the reality. I don't know what happened there. Like, a bunch of people said, you're going to be the same, and then only a few people said no. What's that all about? Let's not do that. Dependency on others will never get anywhere. What about your intelligence? Sometimes we're too smart for our own good. We think we've got it all together. We know everything. We can handle it. We're controlling. How many control freaks do we have in here? Oh, thank you. Thank you for being honest. The rest of you are lying on some level. Sometimes that will get in your way. And you're so work-focused, and you're so looking for approval, or you're thinking that your performance will somehow get you where you're needing to go. And you become your own worst enemy because information won't save you. When you walk by faith, it's a whole nother level that you can't understand until you step into it. You know what I'm talking about, faithful believer? And sometimes we get in our own ways because we think, well, I read today. I did my daily devotional. So surely I'm growing in Christ. The problem is someone else wrote that for you. They did the work. You've got to dig for you. What about fear? Has fear ever gotten in your way and held you back? I know it has. I hear you mumbling and grumbling. We get to the threshold, and what we want is We want what's on the other side, but we want to know what it's all about before we step over. And that's not a walk by faith. That's a walk by sight. And we're not people who walk by sight. We're people who walk by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we stand at the threshold, and we know what God has for us, right? Or we've been challenged to do something, and we're like, I want to be there, but I can't be there. I'm afraid. I mean, what if God asked this of me? And I've told you before, he'll never ask something large of you if you haven't done something small. I promise you. To whom much is given, much is required. Those who have little will be asked of little. Those who have much will be asked much of. And so the more you step over thresholds in your Christian life, the more experience you build in your Christian life, and you'll go from drinking the bottle to eating a plate of food, and all of a sudden that place where God really wants to take you because of all those spiritual markers behind you will not seem scary when you get there. They're only scary here. Make sense? Amen. Maybe fear is what holds you back. There's so many things that can hold you back. Only you know what is your worst enemy in your life. And so they're in their own way here because they're still at the same place they've always been. We don't know how many years have passed, but we know that there's some time passed because of what he says in the next verse, verse 12. You're slow to learn. He says, in fact, verse 12, though by this time you ought to be teachers. So how much time do you think has passed? Do you think he's only been gone a month? Like if you're a baby Christian, were you ready to be teaching a life group a month later? No, I wouldn't let you teach a life group a month later. Even with the greatest of intentions and your great excitement being hungry, you're not solid in your faith yet. And so he's telling them, you've been Christians long enough to where you should be teaching somebody. And so he says here, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Boom! Insult to injury, right? I mean, he's got them right between the eyes. They need this. So he's telling them something. It's easy to dismiss. And he goes, no, 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 I'm not through yet. And then he comes back and he says, this is what you ought to be doing. Like when I left you, I expected to come back and find this. Paul writes about it all the time. When I left you, I expected that when I came back, you would be discipling others. But instead, you need me to teach you the elementary truths all over again. We got to talk about salvation again, church. Make sure you understand salvation. You're acting that way, and I don't know why, because Jesus said, this is what Jesus died for. And so they keep having the same conversations over and over. And so finally, he's had enough. He loves them. He comes in, and he says, what happened to you? You ought to be teachers. And instead, I'm coming with the same sermon I came last time with. And then he just nails them between the eyes. You need milk, not solid food. Wow. That hurts, doesn't it? But sometimes that's exactly what we need. And the writer is writing out of love. What he's saying is this. Have you ever had, like when you were little, you ever had your parents tell you to act your age? Ooh, didn't you hate that? Oh, my gosh. And you're like, I am. Like, I'm 7. What? You want me to be 30, right? We do that with our kids sometimes. Why do you act like that? I'm 5. Why aren't you acting like you're 40? I don't know what 40 is, but I don't think I like it. You know, they're looking at you. Now, if you're 17 years old and you're wrestling in the living room with your brother, and you're breaking everything on the coffee table, your mom is going to come in and say, act your age. And you are acting 7, and you need to, right? That makes sense. But a lot of times, we have expectations of people, right? Act your age. But here's the thing. In the spiritual life, we have to have expectations. How old are you spiritually? Just think about it for a minute. Since the day you were born again, since the day you gave your life to Christ and became a Christ follower, how many years have passed? That's your spiritual age. And now I'll ask you, do you act your age? If you've been a Christian for 10 years, I'm going to ask you, why aren't you discipling someone? I'm going to ask you, right? And if you're a month old and you're discipling someone, I'm going to say, why are you discipling someone, right? We've got to act our age. It's so funny that in our regular lives, we can see the progression of age. Like when you, ladies, when you give birth, you don't give a birth to an adult, do you? That would kill you. You give birth to what? A baby. And then you feed that baby, right? And when you feed that baby, they become a toddler. They keep growing. It is in them to grow. They're designed to grow. As long as you feed them, they're going to grow. They become a toddler. Then they become a child. Then they become a teenager. Hold your breath. Then they become a young adult. Then they become a median adult. Then they become a senior adult. There's a natural progression that happens because we're designed to grow in this way as we are nourished. But why is it in our spiritual life that we don't think we have to do the same thing? So if you've been a Christian 10 years, you know you're a preteen. But are you a baby? Spiritually, what are we doing within ourselves that we're going to act the age we ought to be? Hey, Matt, come up here for a minute. And kill me later. So this is Matthew. Matthew is, well, how old are you, Matthew? 18 years old, and he's a big fella, right? This is a big dude. Like, he could take me down. All right? Where's security? All right, Matthew, come on up here with me. Good to see you this morning. So then you see between me and Matthew, he's twice me, right? Twice as thick, twice as wide, a little taller. Matt's a big kid. And Matt's 18 years old, so I would expect him to be in what grade? A senior. He would be a senior, right? So let's say that I knew Matt when he was like nine years old. And I went away, and then I came back. And I'm like, hey, Crystal, how's Matt? And she's like, oh, he's great. He's 18. And so I drive up to the high school to see Matt, and he's not there. So then I think, well, I wonder what happened. And so I go to the counselor's office, and I say, why isn't Matt in the senior class? And they're like, oh, no, he got held back. So I go to the junior class. Matt's not there. The sophomore class. Matt's not at the high school. And so I'm like, Crystal, is he still in school? And she's like, yeah, could maybe graduate early, right? Smart kid. So I go to the junior high. I'm looking for Matt Jones. There's no Matt Jones. I'm like, surely not in the elementary. Fifth grade, he's not there. But they assure me he's in the school. Fourth grade, he's not there. Third grade, there he is. There he is sitting. Sitting in, can you even see the chair? He's sitting in this chair, and he looks what? Ridiculous. And we laugh about that, right? But if we should be a senior in our Christian life and we're a third grader, we need to understand that we look ridiculous. And the lost world is looking at us and wondering why they don't see in us what we profess with our mouth in our actual lives. Because we're stuck in the third grade or below in our Christian lives. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. Love you, Matt. That's payback for something, I'm sure. That would look absolutely ridiculous. At some point in our Christian lives, we have to get off the baby bottle and we have to get off the pacifier. Amen? Because we're no kingdom good. God might as well just take us home. Because he has a mission for us, a commission for it. Corey. Hey, Corey. Come on up here, Corey. Corey, have you had breakfast? Are you always hungry? Always hungry. This is Corey. Do y'all know Corey? Yeah, he looks a little different this morning. I asked him he was going to be in church, and he put this getup on. He's not being himself. I mean, his beard is groomed. You said normal. I meant you're normal.
Y'all don't want that.
Don't want that, no. All right, but this is Corey, and he's here this morning, and he said he's always hungry. So I have a solution for that, right? And I don't think a chair will hold you. I tell you what, Corey. Come here, Corey. Come here, baby Corey. Come sit right here on my knee. Now turn around. Turn around the other way. Do we have a doctor in the house? Wow. And Corey? Come on, Corey. Y'all got a minute? Corey's hungry. Can you not hold your own bottle? Go. No. That looks how? Ridiculous. And it was ridiculous, and my leg really hurts right now. That's ridiculous. I asked him if he could hold his own bottle. He said no. He works on cars. Be very afraid. But how many of us, we come to church on Sunday morning, and we sit in our chair, and we open up our mouths, and we just say, feed me. We won't even hold our own bottle. And the world is looking. And a year from now, you're still not different. And a year from now, you're still not different. And you're frustrated with yourself, aren't you, when that happens? We can't be bottle fed all of our lives. It's just not possible. Let me ask you a question this morning. Where are you? Only you can answer that. Where are you in your Christian life? Well, how old are you in your Christian life, number one? And number two, how long have you been there? How long have you been that age? So you say, I'm 10 years or I'm 20 years in, but I've been 3 for 17 years. And God has all these opportunities, all these ways that he wants to use you, and he can't. In the meantime, how many people have passed by your life in 17 years that you don't even know is watching you? And they're going, I'm not sure about this Christianity thing. I'm not sure if God is real. Can you give me another example? That kind of thing. We've got to be better than that. You need more. And let me tell you something, parents. Your kids need more. You have to do it in the home. And what I mean by that isn't them just seeing you say, we're going to church this morning. It's in the everyday. And if, listen, your kids are going to pass you by. Then what? Because the reality is, if you're not constantly having a godly conversation in your home with your children, they're not going to know what godliness is. If the decisions you make aren't backed up by Scripture, and you don't take the time to share that with them, they're going to get to that age, and it gets younger every year in our culture, where they're no longer interested and they don't believe you anymore, not to mention that they don't see it in you. And so it's so important. Your kids deserve more than that. They need the opportunity. And so he says to the Hebrews here and to the Gentiles, this is actually a largely Gentile church, you need milk, not solid food. Verse 13, anyone who lives on milk, that means stays on milk, lives, that's a lifestyle, lives on milk, he says, and who are they? The people who are still an infant. They are not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. Now, that doesn't make sense at first. Like, you first read that on the surface, and you go, but the teaching about righteousness is that Jesus came to die for our sins so that we could be right before God. That is righteousness. Amen? But there's a deeper teaching about righteousness. There's a teaching about righteousness that has to do with listening with God and digging in and living out a life that doesn't just look like a surface life. The teaching about righteousness is a teaching that we have to give ourselves over to. We have to seek the Lord for ourselves. And then what happens is he begins to reveal things to us about right living that aren't things we used to think were. Ever been there? It's called growth. So like at first, you're like, you're doing good things, and then you realize, but they're not godly things. The more you learn teachings of righteousness, you begin to separate those two things. You hear God call you to do something, and you do it without seeing whether or not that's when you were supposed to do it. And so it ends up not being necessarily a good thing because the timing is off, and it ends up being something that's not working in your life, and we can kind of mess up God's plans. When you're walking in the righteousness and the understanding of the Scripture that God has given you, you will learn a level of right living that comes from joy and not just from information on a page. So it's not just about being saved and satisfied. Amen? That's not enough. It's not enough, and it's a reflection of our heart. And then on in verse 14, he says, but solid food is for who? The mature. Solid food is for the mature, he says. Who are the mature? Those who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. By constant use. I don't want to confuse you here this morning. You can't train you. It really means that through constant use, you have learned, who's our teacher, counselor, and guide? Holy Spirit. You have learned by the Holy Spirit how to distinguish. You can't train you. If man could train man to be righteous, we would not need Jesus. That would have been a wasted death But instead, he says the mature Christian is the person who goes deeper, who digs in, who seeks out God. And as he seeks out God, or she seeks out God, begins to understand what God's true calling is on their life, can begin to hear God wooing them into things, wooing them out of things, and developing. And they become the mature believer who's able to eat the solid food. You would never give your baby a steak and say, happy dinner. And God won't either. He won't give an infant a steak. But I wonder how tired God is of buying formula. And if we don't want to be the same this time next year, let's not let our January fade into our February. Right? Because I've read some of these sheets that we got that are on my desk already. And one of the questions I asked was, how long did it take before you faded? And one person said a week. And others just like a month, a couple of months. So if we don't address it now, our inspiration for January, our best intentions in January will still stay best intentions, and the in-between won't happen. So I want to push you and challenge you. It's February now. Can you believe it? Like, I already feel the year's gone. Like, where did January go? It's already February. And the question is, are you beginning to fade from that hunger, that desire, that to not be the same? Is it already starting to fade? Here, we're reading in Hebrews that what this writer is saying is it's not acceptable. And the ball's in our court. The ball's in our court. You got to stop leaning on someone else, leading or depending on someone else. When we first started the church, Lori used to keep little kids, babies. And there was a lady who came into our church, and her name was Elise Looney. How many of you remember Elise? She was amazing. She ended up being our children's minister, and I'm telling you, amazing. She had the vision. It was incredible to work with her. She was very pregnant when she came to the church with twins. And after she had her twins, she kept her twins for the 12 weeks or whatever. She was a school teacher, and then she had to go back and teach and just finish out her year, and then she was going to not teach anymore for a while. And so during that 5 months that she wasn't going to, that she had to finish out her school year, she came to Lori, knew that Lori kept little kids at the time, and she said, can you keep my twins, Grace and Cassidy? And they were the cutest things ever. I mean, Grace was about as big as this, and Cassidy was like, right? Even though they were twins, we know who got the groceries. And so Lori said yes. So Lori kept them from 4 months to like 8 months or 9 months. That's how long she kept them during that period of their age. And what would happen would be that Grace was very active. She was very independent. She kind of just went after stuff. She learned. She was curious. All those kind of things. She was developing. And Cassidy, she was a blob. I mean, seriously. It was hilarious how two children can be so different. And they had those, what are those things called? I meant to ask Lori before church. Those round things that you put the kids. A walker, like an extra, okay, right. So they could they were mobile a little bit. So maybe they were like 6 months old at the time, and they're roaming around their little walkers or whatever. And Lori would fix their bottles, and she would get their bottles ready, and she would walk in, and she would walk over to Cassidy, and she would give Cassidy that bottle, to Grace, and she would give Grace that bottle, and Grace would just take it from her and start sucking on it. Then she'd walk over to Cassidy. And this is what Cassidy would do. Like the little tray is all around her, and this is what Cassidy would do. She'd go. She put her hands down inside of her walker and opened her mouth. And Lori's like, seriously? And Lori had to stand there until she finished that bottle. She wasn't taking that bottle. How many of us are like that? We're the hungry that, like, give me the bottle. Then the others that are like, well, feed me. I mean, I want to get fat on God's word, but I don't want to do anything. Just feed me. I mean, surely if I go to church and I go to life group, that's enough, right? I don't really have to dig for myself. But if I call you tomorrow, I can't do this now because I just said that. But if I called you tomorrow and said, what did I preach on today? But I hadn't told you I was going to call you tomorrow, you wouldn't be able to tell me. Because church does, it's good, it builds unity, it encourages us. But the chances are you couldn't even tell me what book I was in. And I bet you right now, if I took a survey and I asked you to name the 4 songs that Mike led us in worship this morning, you couldn't do it. One for sure, maybe 2. How many could really name all 4 songs? Michael. I would hope so. Hey, Michael, what were they? What were they? And you know why he knows that? Because he's the one that did the work. Right? And we got fed this morning. We got encouraged and prepared for the word. And yes, we did worship. But if we can't remember the four songs, how in the world are you going to remember the message? And so, in other words, this isn't it. This is great. It builds unity. We need to be together. The church is called together. The Bible says don't forsake the assembling of the saints. But this is the springboard or the refill station for the rest of our life, depending on what end you want to look at. And so we're called to build our lives for ourselves. Those of you who have been veteran Christians a long time, my question to you is, are you coasting? I look at people like Billy and Diane Allen in our church. Raise your hands. There they are. Look. No, raise your hand, Diane. Okay, these two people right here. I don't know how old Diane is, and if I did, I wouldn't tell you anyway. But Billy's in his 80s, right, Billy? 80. Billy is 80 years old. He's a veteran. I've known Billy the whole time I've lived here. And at 80 years old, you're thinking, surely I can just coast. I'm 80, for heaven's sake. You know what Billy and Diane Allen do? Without anybody knowing it or anybody seeing it, they come in, they check that kitchen every week. They see how much water we have. They see how much creamer, sugar, straws, napkins, sweet and low, you name it. They see what we have. They go down to Sam's. They buy it, they deliver it here at the church. They don't make an announcement when they do, it's just here, and they go on their way. The silent servant that gives you the opportunity to have that cup of coffee on Sunday morning. If the coffee pots aren't working, they replace the coffee pots. They do it all. And then Kim Berlinger is the one who works in the kitchen. Unless you know Kim and know she works in the kitchen, by the time you get here, she's just out in the foyer. But it happens not by itself, but because someone invested that time to serve and to work. And at 80 years old, they haven't said that line that I can't stand to hear from Christians that says, I've done my time. Let me just tell you right now, don't ever say that to me, because I will escort you to the door. I'm not playing. Because our vision at Common Ground is every member in ministry. You're saying, I didn't know that. That's because you haven't been to 101, which is at the end of this month, and the sign-up's out back there. Right? Every member in ministry. And there's no cutoff time. This is a quote from a guy named Jamie Dickens. He says this. He says, how many of us are going to spend the next 10 years getting 10 years older, but not getting 10 years deeper? Do we even have 10 years? We don't know. You may not have tomorrow. We got to impact our own lives. We have to self-feed. You don't have to tell me to get food. When I'm hungry, I promise you I can find food. No shortage of food. But spiritually, I think the American church culture is starving to death, and we don't seem to be willing to feed ourselves, and I don't really understand that. And so I want to encourage you to feed yourself. Just a couple of quick verses and I'll close. But in James 4:8, and maybe we just have those up on the screen. I won't have to turn there. James 4:8, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Come near to God and he will come near to you. That's a challenge, isn't it? You want to be deeper, you want to get off the bottle, or you want to get off the baby food or that nasty chunky stuff. If you want to go beyond that, keep drawing near to God. And he'll draw near to you, and he will train you in the things by his Holy Spirit that you need to learn. I got a great text from Liz this week. She's been back and forth at the hospital with her brother, and she's texted me several times this week in the midst of some really serious kind of stuff that's going on, some scary kind of stuff that's going on. And she said to me two different times when she was texting me, she said, I thank you so much that you challenge us the way you do in church to grow, because now I'm in the crisis and I see what I'm made of and I realize that that's what revealed my faith. And she's so glad that she grew. She's so glad she took up the challenge, because here's the thing. All of us are just a second away from a crisis of any kind. that you can't control. It's a diagnosis. It's getting fired. It's whatever it is, an unexpected death. It doesn't matter what it is. And the question is in that moment, can you have the same testimony that Liz has? One of joy, one of being on a foundation, one of security. It doesn't make it easy. But wow, to discover in that moment how glad you are that you ate from the table with your own spoon. Because it's coming. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Paul says in Philippians 3:10 the following. He says, I want to know Christ. That's that hungry person, right? He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Nobody wants to suffer, but what I can tell you is this. When you are growing in Christ, when you are practicing your faith, when you're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, when the sufferings come, you'll look like Jesus. And so it's worth it. But that's a promise. Let us be challenged by Paul's passion. And then one more is in Jeremiah 29:13. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, you will seek me and find me. When? When you seek me with all your heart. I don't understand why I haven't grown. Seeking with all your heart. It's a promise. You will seek me. You will find me. So if you haven't grown, you're not seeking. I thought I was seeking because I'm reading. It's more than reading. It's listening. It's applying. It's being aware. Sometimes we need someone to walk with us. We all need someone to walk with us. But sometimes we specifically need someone to walk with us. If you don't want to be the same, ask for someone to walk with you. And we'll help you in that way. Now, what's scary about that is, if I had 10 people come to me, I don't know if I'd have 10 people to put with those 10. I hope I would. Because it's got to be people who are ahead of and are biblically solid. So the question today is this. In 10 years, we know we'll be 10 years older, but will we be 10 years deeper? That's the question. Father, thank you, God, for the harshness of your words sometimes. God, sometimes it's just flat out not easy, but boy, is it what we need. God, there have been ups and downs in my own personal life. There have been mountains and there have been valleys. There's been times, God, when I feel like my prayers just hit the ceiling, and at the end of the day, I know it's me. And I think, God, that a lot of times what happens to us is that we revert back so gradually. We default, like we talked about last week. So gradually, we don't realize it's happening until we find ourselves in a place where we're uncomfortable. So, Father, I pray that just as going to work every day can be monotonous, just as washing clothes, packing lunches, driving, all those things can become very routine and very monotonous. We understand, God, that sometimes that's what our Christian lives feel like. We understand that I'm reading every day, but I don't necessarily see anything changing. But God, your word says that your word is alive, and it is getting in there. It's planting seeds in our hearts, God, and may we have the patience. May we be willing to dig when it's not exciting. Maybe we be willing to lead and not forget that people are watching. Maybe the reason we're not hearing from you, God, is because you're entrusting us with everything that you've taught us and you've let go of our hand because we're not a baby anymore. We're a toddler. We're a child. And you're saying, everything I've built in you, you can do it. And then you'll take our hand in another season. But during those times, God, I pray that you would not let Satan lie to us and convince us that you're not worth following. May we pursue you and feeding our spirit the way we feed our bodies. God, I wonder what would happen if we said, I won't eat today unless I read. I wonder how thin we'd all be. Maybe some of us should take up that challenge. We love you, Lord. Do your work as only you can. In Christ's name, amen. If you need someone to pray with you, especially if you want to give your life to Christ, come to the back, and Lori and I are back here. TJ's back here. We would love to pray with you and encourage you. If you just need to pray, the altars are open. Please stand.